Wesley Flowers.
Trey Vetter.
David Fountain. Paul Doss.
Andy Appling.
Death on Two Wheels.
We're the Death on Two Wheels.
So as we were walking in here, we were talking about Atlanta. Now, what's interesting to me about rock and roll scenes is that there's rock and roll scenes that are very, 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 you know, hip and cool and that people definitively know about. And then there are rock and roll scenes that, you know, a couple of bands come out of a place and suddenly people go, oh, that place is hot. You know, so you take Williamsburg, Brooklyn, right? Nobody gave a flying leap about Williamsburg, Brooklyn until a bunch of people moved there because it was cool.
Right.
Now, in the case of Atlanta, you know, people are like, oh, is that where the Atlanta rhythm section's from? You know, but the bottom line is there is a thriving, pretty major rock and roll scene going on in Atlanta, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, sure. We're very happy to be there.
So tell me a little bit about that. Tell me about what, because again, perception, right? That it's going to be, you know, Lynyrd Skynyrd for the 2000s, but that is not the case, right? So tell me a little bit about, you know, the variety of stuff that comes out of Atlanta, and then we'll get to you eventually.
All right. I think it's really diverse. I think you can do all kinds of rock and roll in Atlanta. The other band you're talking about is Gringo Starr. Those are very good friends of ours. Love playing with those guys. So, like, on the really indie side of things, you have, like, Black Lips, Deer Hunter, all that sort of, the Coat Hangers, that sort of thing. And then to the right side, like, you have, like, there's Manchester Orchestra, there's us, there's Ponderosa, just several bands bouncing around Atlanta that really have good things going on. Like I said, we're thrilled to be there. And then we kind of blend Athens into the mix, too, so...
Right.
That's always
right.
fun. Step right.
Yeah, so let's go through that little mix. Where is everybody from originally? And you can do it any order you want. I don't really care.
David, Paul, and I are all from Griffin, Georgia.
I'm from Forsyth, Georgia, which is a stone's throw from Griffin.
Just let's get this over with. So the history of the band, where did everybody go to school and meet at school? Did you meet, you know, at a drug deal? Tell me a little bit of the history.
All the above.
An interesting story. This is where it gets good. Me and David, we grew up together in Griffin, and then Wes was playing in bands that I went to see at local clubs in Griffin, and I grew up loving the stuff that he played, so I kind of met Wes through that. And then how David was dating Trey's.
Whoa.
Trey.
Wait, we've got to finish that sentence. David dating Trey's.
No, but that was
nobody.
Trey's nanny, Trey's mom.
His nanny.
Trey's ex-lover. Come on, help me here.
No, I got to mix up. Trey was dating David's sister, which is how
it works. Got a backwards.
Y'all can take it from there.
This is like Mad Libs here.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So me and David's sister have some history, and then so me and David were buddies. And
you're still friends. It's amazing.
Still friends. And so, yeah, just kind of all came together.
Middle
there.
Of the night. Okay, look.
But really,
Atlanta,
Georgia.
We have to talk about my sister.
it was more like middle of the night. We have to talk about the band, I think.
Yeah.
Were you all in?
Wait, your
sister? Or it's like both of our girlfriends are mad at us because we're in a band.
Were you all in other bands prior to this one?
Something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Something like that.
God, we're all skittish to talk
Elaborate.
About the history.
Elaborate. I mean, you know, we've already gotten through to the Trey girlfriend, sister.
I met the whole Griffin crew. Like I said, I'm not far from Griffin, but I met that whole crew of bands, which there's a bunch of good bands from there. I met them in high school playing. I was in a band called Gojo, and Wes was in a band called Refill.
And then
Wes went on to form a band called the Californias, and I managed that band. And then at the same time, I was dating David's sister, and then David's friends with Paul, and then Andy falls into the bunch out of nowhere.
Has anybody got a map?
Yeah. Oh man, yeah. We could pinpoint.
How we get there?
We have a blueberry.
Yeah.
Yes.
A blueberry.
Nice.
We could pin
that
a lot of things in.
Didn't help you get here, but that's okay. No,
it's terrible.
Now there is this management company that happens to be in Atlanta, one Russell B. Carter. Oh. And it's kind of interesting because when you look at the list of bands
right.
that this man manages, and that's how you got, you know, to me. So tell me a little bit now. So you formed this band. So we've gotten there and you all knew each other and it was David's sister and, you know, Trey was and all of that.
We did a 3-song demo, and there wasn't even a full band at the time, and it took another year for us to actually start playing shows. You mentioned Russell Carter. I wouldn't say that forming the band had anything to do with how we got in line with Russell Carter. Like I said, I managed Wes's old band, The Californias. I was booking shows for a band called The Bridges. Small town Georgia people, and then there's Russell Carter. And then you bring The Bridges in, and they're from Alabama, and then you know, it just starts to get incestuous from there.
In a great way.
But there's a lot of overlap and playing in this Russell B. Carter stable of bands. Am I right there?
Yeah. As of recent history, for certain. Definitely, like The Bridges.
Like The Bridges have been known to back up.
Yes.
Certain bands.
Yes. We do.
Like this band.
What you're going to get on these shows with Matthew Sweet is us, like a five-person band. Sometimes we do like a very 70s Leon Russell 10-person review kind of thing. Jeremy from The Bridges plays percussion, and I hate the phrase background vocals, so I just say The Bridges sing vocals with us.
And they're going to be there tonight.
And they slay it. No, we don't have them in tow. They're
I'm sorry. They're coming. I'm not bringing you. I was going to bring you on stage tonight and make a big deal. But all kidding aside, to get with that level of a manager, did you present a demo to him? Did you know people? You know, did he see you in a gig somewhere?
He had not heard song one. I was booking shows for The Bridges, and that's my girlfriend now, and it's all weird, crazy little mixed up story. But it's beautiful and it's wonderful. But we were playing our very first show ever.
Smith's Old Bar.
I think Russell had always been like, you know, Trey booked shows for The Bridges, but exactly what is his thing? So he gave us a shot, came to see the band. All the Bridges were there. We played our first show. It was like five songs, wasn't even a full set. And he's been there since day one. That was September 2007. So just over a year ago, as far as playing shows.
He's just kind of always been in the scene around us. So.
Yeah. And we've had members change here and there. And he's always been constant backbone. We see him, you know, at least every other show. It's been great. You know, it's always nice to have a little, you know, a stable backbone there to support you.
Indeed. Now, this that I've got in my hand, Separation of Church and Fate, which we'll get to that in a second, this is not a signed band yet.
Correct.
We usually do this much later on. Now, is this out?
You can find it on iTunes. It will be in stores in 2009.
In 2009, and self-distributed pretty much?
Yeah, self-distributed. It'll be like a limited release.
Right.
And probably then, wherever we're touring. And yes, we'd love to have labels say ooh and goo over it, but at the same time, I think you're limiting yourself if you're going to let a label get on board before you even, you know, get going on.
Act,
so
yeah.
So, we're just kind of proactive. If somebody wants to chime in on the game we got going, then that is great.
So if somebody just wants to buy the master of this and put it out and the deal is right, you'll say okie dokie.
If it feels right, if it's the right team, if it feels something that we all feel good about and it's something that, you know, the rest of the team that we built feels good about, then yeah.
Do you have a sense of what the right team is? And we're not going to talk label names. I mean, I work with every single one of them, you know, so I can tell you by listening to a record places where you theoretically belong. But in this day and age, it's very, very, you know, I know three artists that signed to MySpace Records, and they don't have the backbone. They have MySpace Records, they have the distribution, and they have the name, but the manager, who's a good friend of mine, is busy doing all the publicity and doing everything else.
Right.
I'm very big on the not to put too much pressure on Russell, but the band and the manager are essentially the label at this point. If you can get some backing, then, you know.
But would you prefer a smaller indie label that can get you out there, or do you want to be on a bigger?
I think the big thing is there's the music business exists because of music.
Yeah.
You know,
the music does these days.
The music is the first priority, and everything else that comes with that is bonus, right?
We're out here, like we drove, what is it, 2,000 miles?
Yeah.
We drove from Atlanta for these two shows.
What do you like, Matthew? You don't like to fly? I'm kidding. I know it's money. I understand.
Yeah.
If you add up all the people here, let's see. We'll need $52,000 right now to fly here from Atlanta, right?
Yeah, without
probably
luggage.
Cheaper than drive.
Oh, if the van had wings.
Luggage and instruments and stuff.
Yeah. Back line.
I think it's one of those things we're going to do our thing. It doesn't have to. It could be an indie label or a bigger label. I think the first thing would be tour support because this is a good band. Like we made a good record. I'm very happy with the record, but it's a good live band. It's good to see all our energy. So tour support and staying out on the road is what I want to do. Stay in that van with these boys and keep playing shows. And then if bigger things come about from there, then so be it. But that can be 5 years down the road.
So how do you feel about you're going to have an audience tonight that's going to see you? You know, it's coming theoretically from Matthew Sweet. Definitely, unless they've gone on right. MySpace, hasn't heard this music yet.
Right.
New crowd.
Stone cold
and not necessarily, well, it's early in the night, so they'll be relatively sober.
Yeah.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, it helps, right? But tell me a little bit about that. The mix of playing with, you know, and Matthew, I don't think he likes this or doesn't like this, but theoretically a power pop icon.
Indeed.
Yeah. I think we're all really into power pop, and I think we definitely bring the same amount of energy as Matthew does. We saw them in Atlanta, I guess, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I haven't seen this show. So.
Yeah, and the whole band brought a ton of energy, and we were all really impressed by it, and I think...
So
as
it was
far
a lot.
As
it was a lot harder
wise,
than you thought it was. You thought it was a lot harder.
Yeah,
Matthew live than you thought it was going
to
be.
Yeah, well, I think Matthew bounces back and forth. Like when it really comes down to it, I think Matthew Sweet's like a rock and roller deep down inside. But then he always feels like
then he goes really over to the pop side.
He
has the Beatle
yeah.
roots, you know.
Yeah.
Which
I, you know, God bless him for that.
But we all dive into that a little bit.
But like our record, you know, is all over the place. Like there's, I mean, not that it doesn't sound like. This you wouldn't pick this up and say, oh, well, yeah, put them on tour, Matthew Sweet. But it bounces around, and I think you take whatever opportunities you can get out there.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And take advantage
of it. It's really exciting because whether we're playing with Matthew Sweet or with Butch Walker or Norma Jean, you know, there's you never know who you're going to grab with a piece of work like this. I mean, it's got everything. It's got the country and the blues and the rock and then the ballads that delve into, like, the sweeter side of it, I guess. So you never really know who you're going to grab with what.
Well,
so
another thing is you talked earlier about no genres and on this show. You have a great thing of you know, people who like music, like good music, and people who like good music like going to see good music. It doesn't matter if it's two country acts back to back, if it's Brooks and Dunn and you know AC/DC. If it's good and it's good, it's good.
The last thing we do is a little trademark of this show. We call it a musical sandwich, and because we didn't ask the influences question. Well, you better be hungry for music. What we do is, this is how we frame your music without framing your music. We take two of your songs as the bread, and then I want you each to pick like three or so songs by other bands off the cuff that you want to play on.